It's Monday, the 21st of December, 2015. Happy birthday to basketball. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and the Tremendous JT. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can be just like the Tremendous JT and be just as tremendous as he is by leaving a review on iTunes and becoming a sponsor of the podcast for a day. Also, don't forget Moneyball.com.au, Australasia's only daily fantasy sports site. Make sure you're getting involved with those guys, entering all the contests, bringing home some money, hopefully not beating me. Yeah, that's it, Moneyball. Make sure you're getting involved with those guys if you are from Australia or New Zealand. Okay, there is basketball to talk about, as always. So,
let's get to it.
Yes, let's indeed. The monstrous line of the night. Hopefully you're able to tell by the noise at the start of the title of the podcast, I'm going with a Star Wars theme here for today's show. And the monstrous line of the night goes to Hassan Whiteside. He played 38 minutes, had 22 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 5 blocks. He went 10 of 13 from the field. He was 2 of 4 from the free throw lines. That doesn't really hurt you that much. And was incredible. And this is what we've seen from him basically all season, but we haven't seen the minutes from him like this all season. He's only averaging 28 per game, but his per 36 numbers are incredible. 16 and 14 with a steal and 5 blocks a game. He's still averaging 4 blocks a game as it is, but this was an extra special Hassan Whiteside performance. Yes, his free throws are an issue. Yes, they're punt worthy, but in a head-to-head league, you should have known that going in and drafting him, and you just love everything else he's doing. The blocks alone are almost worth spending a high pick on him. To get 4 blocks a game it's incredible. It enables you to go in so many different areas with the other categories. Plus, he's shooting 63% from the field. Plus, there's 10 boards a game. Now, you get no threes, negligible assists, and by negligible, I mean, I'm going to bring this up. He has had 6 assists this season. 6 total. It's not very many, so you don't get any assists from him. The scoring is not great, and you get the poor free throws, but you get big rebounds, you get massive blocks, and you get a huge field goal percentage. So he can be a real boon in certain categories. The problem with Hassan Whiteside, which I'm sure if you own him you know, is the minutes. They're just not consistently high enough. And look, they've been up there of late. He's getting 31 minutes a game over his last 4. But prior to that, he was getting minutes in the mid to low 20s. Foul trouble is always going to be an issue with him, so we're going to see that be a concern moving forward. But you own him, you deal with it, because you're going to get nights like this, that especially coming on a Sunday where it could actually swing your matchup. You're getting the 5 blocks, getting the big rebounds, getting that big field goal percentage bump. It could actually change the momentum of a weekly matchup. The waiver wire line of the night. Matthew Dellavedova of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and Dally had been playing pretty consistently and fairly well. I didn't think that he'd be getting the waiver wire line of the night on the night that Kyrie Irving returned, but he did. He played 23 minutes. He had 20 points on 7 of 10 shooting, including 4 triples, and the other exciting part of his value was he had 2 steals and 2 blocks. Everything about this just screams unsustainable to me. Mo Williams was out, so there was extra run for him there. Kyrie was back. He's not going to get 2 steals and 2 blocks a game. He's not going to hit 4 threes a game. Although for this month, he is hitting over 2 threes a game. So a lot of it is unsustainable. I think you'd be surprised to know that Dally is the 103rd ranked player this year. And that means that he should be owned in 12-team leagues and probably 10-team leagues. But it's going to come down. He's not going to continue to average 5.4 assists, which he currently is. He's hitting 1.5 threes on the season. The threes might stay. The assists are going to drop. We're going to see him down at 3 assists a game, I would say. You're going to see his steals drop down to half to 0.6 steals a game. His field goal percentage has been really impressive, 45% from the field. And I don't think that's necessarily going to fall. And he's awesome. He hasn't missed a free throw in the whole last month. His last 12 games hasn't missed a free throw. all of December, hasn't missed a free throw. And that might continue. But the other numbers, they're just not going to be high enough. He's not going to continue to play 30 minutes a night. I think he goes down to similar to what he played today, 23 minutes maybe. And with Mo Williams coming back, it's going to cut into it again as well. So great performance for Dellavedova, but his value is limited to me to 14 team leagues, possibly 16 team leagues. Not going to be a consistent 12 team league guy from here moving forward. I wouldn't have thought anyway. The young gun of the night, Lord Alfred Payton of the Orlando Magic. He was he was actually questionable coming into this game with an ankle sprain. He played 31 minutes, went 14-2-6 and had 5 steals and a block. And like Hassan Whiteside earlier, if you drafted Lord Alfred Payton, you knew the percentages were going to be a problem. He went 2-6 from the free throw line. He went 6-14 from the field, which is not horrible. And his numbers this season haven't been too bad. 41% from the field for the season. The last 2 weeks is at 48, so improving. And 66 from the free throw line, which is much better than the 55 he shot last year. And he takes not a huge amount of free throws, so it's not crippling. Although he has seen that number rise. The last 2 weeks he's up to 5.3 attempts. But you know you're getting good assists from him. You're getting great steals from him. You're averaging 2.5 steals a game over the last couple of weeks. He's a pretty aggressive rebounder for a point guard. The scoring is coming up as well. After a real sort of struggle patch, he's balancing himself in that mid-range point guard who will have a higher ranking if you're dealing with his negativities, if you're punting the free throw percentage specifically. If you can absorb his field goal percentage, he becomes a more valuable player in that sort of scenario. But another nice night for Lord Alfred, and those 5 steals were exceedingly valuable. Onto the other side of the coin, the dud of the night, unfortunately goes to another man that I have bestowed a nickname upon, and that is Bob Cove. Robert Covington played just 21 minutes. He went 2-9 for 5 points. He hit a 3, had 3 rebounds and a steal, and after coming back red hot from his injury, he is the opposite at the moment, and I don't really understand what's happening with his playing time. Why he's this team needs people who are NBA rotation quality. He's one of them. There's not many others on this team who are. And I don't know why his minutes have been reduced lately. He's only getting 27 a game over the last 8, 23 over the last 4. It's not helping that he's not shooting the ball well. He's only at 36% over those last 8 games. He needs to get that back up to 40 or 41. He's still getting a stack of threes from him. 2 threes a game, 0.9 steals, 0.8 blocks. So he's still almost averaging a triple one. It's just that the other numbers, he's hurting you in the field goal percentage a lot because he's taking 10 attempts a game on 36% shooting in these last 2 weeks. You know, the scoring is not quite there for him. He's still getting 5.5 rebounds. I had someone tweet at me today saying, are we putting him in the category of busts yet? Like, no, he's still ranked 44th on the season. He's had a little bit of a quiet patch. I don't see him sticking in this limited role that he currently is. Don't really know what's happening with the way the Sixers are currently using him, but he will be better. Maybe it's a buy low opportunity if someone is just... Look, people just sour on Robert Covington really easily. They did it at the start of the season when he had the ankle injury. There was no hope. Is that the right word? No confidence in him coming back and being even like a top 100 player, let alone the sort of top 50 player that he is at the moment. There was very little confidence in him being like that. So the fact that he is that, and he's still only playing 29 minutes a game, we're going to want him to get back up to being that. Yeah, if he gets 30 to 34 minutes a game, we're talking a comfortable top 50 player. Just a little bit baffling what's happening to him at the moment with the way the Sixers are running their rotation. It's not making a lot of sense. They're getting smashed every game, and they're basically just spreading the minutes across every single player. But guys like Hollis Thompson shouldn't be playing over Covington. Nick Stauskas shouldn't be playing. Well, he's not. He's only played 12 minutes here, but he shouldn't be playing minutes. Jakar Sampson shouldn't be playing minutes over Covington. They need to develop guys who have got a chance to become rotational players, and Covington's definitely one of their better players. I imagine it turns around for him pretty soon, but he's a buy low candidate for me. People will jump off the Bob Cove bandwagon pretty quickly, and that could be your opportunity to punt. Let's try that again. Your opportunity to pounce. The daily fantasy value play of the day. I need to bring that up because it is completely wrong on my sheet. So let's bring this up now. Sorry, but this is great live video as I look up a number. Just talk amongst yourselves while I bring this up, and it'll be here in a sec. The daily fantasy play of the day, here we go, is Patrick Patterson at $3,500. He put up 34.1 points. He played 33 minutes, had 18 points, 8 rebounds. Definitely one out of the box for 2-Pat. Had not been producing anything similar to that previously. And look, the matchup sort of favored him. He was in a nice spot, but there was no way you could play him in a cash game situation. He was definitely more of a tournament play because he just had been doing basically nothing prior to this. And yes, he's always got the ability to go big, but it just doesn't happen very often for him, or it hasn't happened very often for him this season. All right, guys, now let's move into these games and talk about them in a little bit more detail. Let's bring them up on the screen for you guys watching along. Here we go. You can enjoy those. Make that a little bit bigger. There we go. Beautiful. Now, let's talk about these games. The first game we want to take a look at is the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Brooklyn Nets. The Timberwolves, a very good victory for them, a big victory to get that comfortable in the end over the Nets. And this team is obviously improving. What I really love from what we're seeing here is Gorgie Jang played 36 minutes, 20 and 10, a steal and a block. Everybody was hating Gorgie Jang at the start of the season, including his coach. Finally, Sam Mitchell's realized, you know what, this guy's good. He should actually be playing. Took a while, but it's happening. And it's clear that he has to be owned everywhere. He has top 50 upside, especially if he's getting 36 minutes. We know what he can do. He can rebound the ball. He can get good blocks. He's a good percentages guy. Him and Karl-Anthony Towns make a great combination to me. The minutes probably won't stay at 36 like they were in this game, but there's a lot to like about Gorgie Jang. I've loved what he's done in this last couple of weeks. Karl-Anthony Towns, another double-double, 24 and 10 with a couple of blocks. Good nights from both those big guys. And Ricky Rubio had just the 8 points, but this is a very Ricky Rubio night. 15 assists, 4 steals, 1 of 6 shooting, and he went 6 of 7 from the free throw line. So he hits his free throws, can't shoot from the field, big assists, big steals, pretty much exactly what you expect from Ricky Rubio. You drafted him for big assists and big steals and good free throws, and you got it from him. The shooting guard position, Kevin Martin played 18 off the bench, 16 points for him with 3 threes and 2 steals, so he looks locked into that sub-20-minute role. Again, we're happy with that, and we're not looking at owning him in 12-team leagues. But Zach LaVine is copping a hit as well. 22 minutes for LaVine, 10-4-4. He just moves down one spot on my list of, he moves down into another range of, does he get dropped? Because he was a must-own player, and then he went down to 18 minutes in the last game, 22 here. If he's going to stabilize at 20 minutes a game because Tayshaun Prince is apparently deserving of 24 minutes, then it's very hard to own LaVine. I don't think LaVine should ever take the job off Rubio. He should be playing next to Rubio. That's the next thing we need to get Sam Mitchell to do. We've got Jang and Towns to go together. We need LaVine and Rubio to play together more. Tayshaun Prince, you know my thoughts on Tayshaun Prince, and a lot of people are going to say, yes, he's very good defensively, and their defensive units are great, but he's a complete offensive liability. Like, he's not even an average offensive player. He's just a non-factor. You don't even have to guard him. He's that bad. He's just been putrid. And LaVine should be out there getting these minutes. There's no point in Prince being out there to me. Andrew Wiggins, 16 points, 3 rebounds, a steal and a block. Yeah, not a great night, not terrible though. And Nemanja Bjelica back down to 3 minutes again. He's just not getting any run at all. Brook Lopez, 40 minutes for him, 20 points, 12 rebounds, a steal and 2 blocks. One of his best games in recent times. And Thad Young just continues to give nice numbers, solid numbers, 12 and 8 with a steal. Nothing too exciting, but definitely nothing horrible there. Jarrett Jack was horrible, 4 points for him. The 6 assists and a steal are pretty nice. He went 2 of 9 from the field. He's just not a great player. There's going to be ups and downs, but his situation is appealing, clearly, with Shane Larkin out. Joe Johnson, 31 minutes for him. Devil's line, 6-6-6 on 2 of 10 shooting. Definitely nothing to get overly excited about, but he is still a borderline 12-team league guy for me. And we saw Bojan Bogdanovic's big minutes finally turn into something useful. 37 minutes. 13 points, including 3 threes, 3 rebounds, and 2 steals. It's just been so few and far between for Bogdanovic in recent times that it's hard to rely upon him in a 12-team league. The next game up is the Portland Trail Blazers and the Miami Heat. Damian Lillard said after the game that he is dealing with plantar fasciitis. CJ McCollum sprained an ankle in this game. Both guys appear like they're going to be okay to go for the next game, but we need to keep an eye on it. Lillard was great, 32 points, 3 threes, 9 assists, while McCollum went 23-6 with 4 triples of his own. And Al-Farouq Aminu, he's really starting to get it going again here. 16 points, 4 rebounds, 3 steals, and 4 triples. He's not a noted three-point shooter, but he's hitting a bunch of threes lately. And the defensive stats are something which had been lacking earlier this season in Portland. So it's good to see him getting those numbers back now. He's averaging 2 threes a game over his last 8 games, which is obviously well above career averages. He hadn't averaged a 3 a game at all throughout his career. He needs to get those steals back up because he can be a 1.5 steals type of guy and a 0.8 blocks, a triple one almost type of player. So things are definitely trending in the right direction for Aminu. He has to be owned everywhere. Myers Leonard, we're getting a little bit of some glimpses of Myers Leonard. 25 minutes for him here, 8 points, 9 rebounds, and 2 threes. Starting to come together a bit for him now. Doesn't mean he's necessarily a must own, but if it trends up again and the minutes come up another 2 or 3 minutes and the production remains solid, he's got tremendous value. We just have to wait and see how it plays out because he's been bad for about the last 2 weeks. Mason Plumlee, 11-7 in his 31 minutes. Noah Vonleh started, just get rid of that. That needs to stop. 2 points for Vonleh, 3 rebounds in his 11 minutes, while Ed Davis had his minutes reduced lately as well. 17 minutes for Davis, 6-4. Alan Crabb played 30 minutes, 8 points, 4 rebounds, and a couple of steals. He's not a 12-team league guy for me. The minutes are there for him. He's playing pretty well, but he just doesn't produce enough fantasy-wise for us to get overly excited. Onto the Heat, Chris Bosh, 29-6-4, 3 threes and 2 steals. And I mentioned this on yesterday's podcast. Big men going up against the Trailblazers does rack up big stats. Whiteside, 21-11 with 5 blocks. Bosh, 29-6 with 3 threes and 2 steals. They rack up a stack of fantasy stats. We've seen it basically all season. Remember that. Luol Deng, a pretty good night from him. 17 points, including 5 triples. He's been a lot better than anticipated, but I'm not rushing to grab him in a 12-team league. In a Roto 12-team, I'm definitely fine with it. Head-to-head, not so much, but he's got value at the moment, so you can use him. Dwayne Wade went 18-2-7 with 2 steals. And Goran Dragic, only the 8 points, but chipped in with 8 assists and 2 steals, so you're okay with that output. Gerald Green, again, he played 32 minutes with Tyler Johnson out. He's going to get 30 minutes while Johnson's out, and he's going to score, and he's going to hit threes, and he's going to give you nothing else. He had 17 points and 4 triples here, which is great if that's what you needed. But his long-term value is definitely tied to Johnson's absence. So if Johnson's back, Green will probably come down 6 or 7 minutes, and then he's just going to be a spot start streaming guy for points and threes, and that's about it. Justice Winslow nabbed 3 steals, which is great. He also had 3 points and 3 rebounds, so not much coming from him. He's a better real-life player than fantasy player at this point in his career. The Philadelphia 76ers and the Cleveland Cavaliers, I touched on it earlier with Covington. The Sixers got smashed again. The minutes were spread out all over the place. There's nothing to really get interested with, but we need to check out the point guard situation as always. Isaiah Cannon played 21 minutes, had 6 points, 2 threes, and 2 rebounds. So you know you're going to get threes from him. That's all you can rely upon. Tony Roten played 15 minutes, went 6-3-3, and still managed to go 2 of 8 from the field and have 3 turnovers in his 15 minutes. Kendall Marshall played 8 points and 4 assists. There's just so many guys here. TJ McConnell, 15 minutes, 10-5-3. And all of them go, look, okay, there's a bit of potential there. 4 assists in 18 minutes is not bad. You know, Roten 6-3-3 in 15 minutes is good if you discount the negatives. Isaiah Cannon, 2 threes, not terrible. I'm not owning any of these guys in 12-team leagues. Marshall is, to me, going to be the guy who gets the most minutes by the time we head into the middle of January. But that might be 21, and everyone gets 15 each, the rest of the players. Not all that excited about any of these Philly point guards. Nerlens Noel is definitely getting back into action, which is great. 15-12 here. A steal and a block, which is what you want him to do. You want him to get you those defensive numbers. They're starting to come back. His last 2 weeks, he's yielded 1.3 blocks, 1.3 steals, 9.7.2 rebounds on 54% shooting. So if we get him back up to 1.5 steals, 1.6 blocks. We're getting closer to that top 30, top 40 value, perhaps. He definitely needs to be owned. So if he's been dropped in your league, you have to make sure he's owned. The defensive numbers are starting to come back. He's starting to look a little bit more comfortable out there. Let's hope it's only upwards and onwards from here. And Jahlil Okafor struggled, 3 of 11 for 9 points and 8 rebounds in his 25 minutes. Not his greatest night at the office. Onto the Cavs, and fantasy owners everywhere, we were pretty happy that they saw Kyrie Irving back. He only played 17 minutes. He's going to be limited moving forward for the next, I don't know, week to 10 days maybe. We don't know exactly when the minutes restriction will be lifted. 17 minutes for him, 12 points, 2 threes, 4 assists, 2 steals. So racked up great numbers in only that limited time. We have to remember that he was a top 15 player last season, so you're going to be expecting some big lines for him to come pretty soon. It's very hard to judge anything based on this, though. You know, Kevin Love played 22 minutes. LeBron James played 25 and still went 23-5-4. So it's against the Sixers. The minutes were limited, but it's just great to have Kyrie out there. We can't judge anything else from this game. Sasha Korn played 6 minutes. There you go. There's your human victory cigar. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Phoenix Suns. Okay, so being asked this a lot today. Jason Kidd is out indefinitely with hip surgery. Apparently, it's looking to be 6 weeks. That's the timetable that a lot of people are saying. And everyone's going, based on Jason Kidd being out, do we go and pick up John Henson? Well, I don't think so. I don't think that really changes anything, because it's not like Henson's going to go and start and play 30 minutes. Now, Kidd coached this game, and Henson played 22 minutes and went 8-6 with 4 blocks and showed his tremendous potential. But my issue is not with Kidd not playing Henson 30 minutes. My issue with Kidd was when Monroe was out and giving Miles Plumlee minutes over Henson. That was my issue. When he had an opportunity to go out there and show I can be a starter and play 30 minutes, he wasn't given that opportunity to. His role is not going to change. They're not going to go, okay, Monroe, you come off. Parker, you guys are going to play limited minutes now so we can get John Henson out there for 32 minutes. I don't think that's going to happen. But Henson should be pretty solid in that backup role. He can be streamed in for blocks like today where he had 4 of them. He's a 14-team league guy, maybe a deep 12-team league guy. But I don't think enough changes where we go, oh, let's go and everyone rush out and grab John Henson in a standard league. Because, yeah, Jason Kidd's got an issue with him and has an issue with playing him. But the new coach is not going to say, all right, sorry, Greggy Monroe, you take a seat. It's not going to happen for you today, mate. You take a seat while John Henson goes out there and plays 32. That's not going to happen. We should hopefully see Henson playing a little bit more than Johnny O'Brien does, but it's not going to be enough to move the needle in fantasy leagues, I don't think. Chris Middleton had a massive game here. 26 points, 2 threes, 7 assists, and 2 steals. Another guy that people were hating on to start the season. You know, he got paid, he got overpaid, he's going to be a bust. He's really starting to come around now. He had some huge struggles to start the season. There's no doubt about that. But he's putting together some numbers now that are getting close to what we saw from him last year. And I didn't think he'd be necessarily able to approach those numbers from last season. Michael Carter-Williams, back in the starting lineup, played 36 minutes here, 20 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. I'm sorry, I need to fix something up because if you guys listening on the audio, you would be unaware of this, but we lost the audio feed of the the video feed. So I'm just trying to get everything back happening here for the live guys watching. And I'm just trying to share these box scores with everyone. There we go. Get everything back in business. Sorry, technical difficulties. All right, so Michael Carter-Williams, as I mentioned, 36 minutes for him, 20 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, and a block. His benching, not necessarily was short-lived because it went for a couple of weeks, but he was still playing starters minutes off the bench. He looks like he's back in business, so clearly he was someone that shouldn't have been dropped, and that's why we always need to just look at these things when they happen. Oh, someone got benched. Let's see what goes on, especially with a Jason Kidd coach team. Same thing happened with OJ Mayo. He got benched the last game. Played 22 minutes. said, let's just wait and see. The next minute, he's back in this one, plays 41 as a starting shooting guard, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block. So if you dropped him, you'd be pretty pissed that you missed out on that sort of production. Now, he did re-enter the starting lineup because Giannis Antetokounmpo was out with knee soreness. We don't know anything more than that about Giannis at the moment. We need to just hold tight and see what that means. But you know, Mayo and Carter Williams are must-own players for now. We need to see more of a trend with kid teams to see it happen. Okay, Mayo's playing 20 minutes a game for 4 games. Maybe he's not getting back. Carter Williams is going to play 19 minutes in a bench role. Not just one game, because stuff changes all the time. It's frustrating, I know. Maybe that will change with kid out. I don't know much changes with the Henson situation, but maybe that does change with the way that he rotates these guards through. Very, very frustrating indeed to deal with. And hey, look, it is what it is. He doesn't give a shit about our fantasy teams, I can assure you of that. But I'm sure it's frustrating for Bucks fans as well when things like Giannis getting benched or moved to the bench, or he got DMPCD'd last year and Bayless got DMPCD'd this year. All that stuff is obviously very frustrating. Jabari Parker played 27 minutes and went 7-6 with a steal. Not his greatest night, but he's still a back-end 12-team league guy for me. Onto the Suns, Eric Bledsoe, 18 points, but not much else in the peripheral categories. 3 steals is nice, but 1 rebound and 1 assist, that's not what you want your Eric Bledsoe to do. And Brandon Knight did struggle here. Now, he was battling some foul issues, only played 29 minutes and went 9-2-4 with a steal and a 3. He's definitely cooled off after a red-hot start. Doesn't mean I think we need to be too panicked about him or anything along those lines. Tyson Chandler played 28 minutes while Alex Len played 20. Chandler he's just not good. 4 points, 5 rebounds and a block. He's not good anymore. And Len had 2 points and 7 rebounds with a block in his 20 minutes. Don't understand the rationale for Chandler playing over Len when, to me, Len has been clearly the superior player this season. It's going to be the trials and tribulations of owning Alex Len. I still think that he has to be owned, but there's going to be lots of situations like this. Markieff Morris is back in the rotation again. Everyone's wrapped, I'm sure. 15 minutes for him, 8 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and a 3. I don't think that means that he's going to start playing 26, 28 minutes a game. And that's what he's going to need to be fantasy relevant. And I'm not a fan of stashing him, hoping for a trade. You've probably heard me talk about that ad nauseum. I'm not adding Markieff Morris in 12-team leagues that thinking a trade's going to happen in the next week and he's going to magically play 30 minutes. I don't think that's going to be the case. So he's not someone I'm looking to add. But I'm watching the John Lewis situation. He was down to 22 minutes here with Markieff back. 9.6 rebounds and a 3. Let's see what happens over the next couple. But if Markieff settles into 15 a night and Lewis settles into 22 a night, then Lua can be done. And if you want to get aggressive and there's someone else out there that you really want, Lua is probably expendable because his ceiling is not all that high. Devin Booker played 18 minutes here. Got 3 steals and 7 points, but he's still a dynasty and deep league guy. Well, TJ Warren dropped 18 points with pretty much nothing else in his 24 minutes. He's getting decent minutes. He's scoring well, but he's a liability in other categories in fantasy. So you need to weigh that up. Is his scoring in limited minutes useful enough, or is the fluctuability of it and the limited minutes going to negate any positives he has in that category? I tend to think that he's not a 12-team league guy yet. He needs to be a 30-minute game guy, I think, to be getting 18 points and then actually helping in some other areas, because he just doesn't do enough for me to be able to be a 22-minute guy who's must-own 12-team league. The Atlanta Hawks and the Orlando Magic is up next. Kyle Korver hit 6 triples, had 19 points with 5 assists, so a great game from Korver. Obviously very happy if you got that from him. Millsap went 13-13 with a pair of steals and blocks, and Al Horford went 14-6-5 with one of each of those as well. Good nights from both of those players. And Kent Bazemore just keeps on going. 33 minutes for Bazemore, 13-6-4 with a 3 and a steal. A pretty solid night from him. Jeff Teague played 27 minutes, 14 points, not his greatest night. But we see that when Teague gets minutes, Schroeder's not going to get them. 20 minutes for Schroeder here, 3 points, 3 assists, and a block. That's why I was hesitant about adding him in 12-team leagues, because he played well, and he played decent minutes, but it was all because Teague wasn't playing. He was limited by an ankle. It was a blowout. He had foul trouble. And then that allowed Schroeder to get 25 to 27 minutes. But if Teague's going to play his 28 minutes, which is low, he should be getting 30, but he's not, then Schroeder's not going to have 12-team league value. It's just not going to happen. Thabo Sefolosha can be dropped. His minutes have been reduced significantly with Bazemore back in the starting lineup, so we can move on from him. On to the Orlando Magic. Evan Fournier played 35 minutes. We're back to our early season Evan Fournier minutes here. 17 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. Who knows? He hadn't been over 30 for quite a while. His production had suffered. If I own him, I'm obviously very happy. If I dropped him or someone dropped him, I'm not sacrificing great players to go back and pick him up, because Skiles obviously has this issue with playing guys' minutes. And is another game to put into the memory bank of Orlando Magic games. When it's close, their guys play minutes. 34 to Nick Vucevic, 35 to Fournier, 31 for Payton, 28 for Oladipo, 31 for Harris. If they had won it by 15, we would have seen 28 for Vucevic, 25 for Fournier, 28 for Payton, 25 for Harris. That's just the way it goes. So trying to predict that is a real pain in the ass. Vucevic had 20 and 11 with 4 assists. Channing Frye had probably his third good game out of the last 4. 13 points, 2 triples, 2 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. You could do worse in a 14-team league, but it's probably a little bit too risky in a 12-team league. I don't really want to get too excited there. Toby Harris really struggled here. 4 points with 6 rebounds, and so did Victor Oladipo. 4 points with 6 assists and 2 steals on 2 of 11 shooting for Oladipo. 2 of 9 for Toby Harris. Not good nights from both of those guys. They will obviously be better, though. The Sacramento Kings and the Toronto Raptors are up next. Rajon Rondo played 39 minutes. George Karl is not shy about giving him big run. 19 points, 13 rebounds, and a triple one. His renaissance continues, much to my surprise. Darren Collison's back to a 26-minute role. The worst thing Darren Collison did for his value this year is get hurt. Before he got injured, he was playing more minutes than Rondo. Comfortably, he'd play like 31 minutes, and Rondo would play like 28. Then Collison went out. Rondo played every minute of every game. Collison came back, can't get back into the rotation. Sometimes can't get his role back as that primary guy who closed games. Rondo is now that guy now, and he's taking control, and you're wrapped if you own him. Rudy Gay, 19-9 with a 3 steals and a block. DeMarcus Cousins had 15-9-5 with 2 steals and 4 blocks. Just not a good shooting night for Cousins, going 5 of 13 from the field and 4 of 8 from the free throw line. And Omri Caspi is a must-own player. 34 minutes for him, 15-11, 3 threes and a steal. As dumb as it sounds, he is a must-own player. He's getting huge minutes. He's productive. He loves Sacramento for whatever reason that is. And I don't see when Willie Cauley-Stein comes back, they're going to go, okay, Omri, you're back to 24 minutes. I don't see that happening. Marco Bellinelli had 6 points in his 26 minutes, and Ben McLemore had 12 points in 19. It's still clearly not enough minutes for McLemore to be owned. On to the Raptors. James Johnson got another start. 14-6, 2 steals and a block, and that's perfect for what you would have hoped for him if you happened to add him. So that's exactly what you wanted. And we've seen it now 2 games in a row. James Johnson starting, him and Terrence Ross getting 30 minutes and being productive in their roles. Ross played 33 minutes, went 13 points with 3 threes, useful for what you would have needed, and the 2 steals, a block, and 6 boards for Johnson, useful as well. Kyle Lowry, not his best night, 13-5-4 with a 3 and a steal. The percentages, the field goal percentage in particular, is coming down for Lowry, not his greatest performance. Bismack Biyombo played just 26 minutes here, still had 13 boards and a block, missed all 7 of his field goal attempts. The biggest surprise there is he had 7 field goal attempts, not that he missed them. You know my take on Bismack Biyombo. And Corey Joseph got 30 minutes again, but he's mastering the Justice Winslow art of doing nothing with big minutes. 30 minutes, 4 points, 3 assists. He can be dropped in any 12-team league that he's owned in. And DeMar DeRozan went 28-7 with a couple of steals and continues his pretty decent season that should see him, I would imagine, back into the All-Star game. The last game of the night was the New Orleans Pelicans and the Denver Nuggets. Just a really weird situation here. Anthony Davis, unbelievable, but played just 20 minutes. Sat out all of the second and third quarter with an illness. Dominated the first quarter, dominated the last quarter. 27-6 with an assist and 4 blocks in 20 minutes. That is out of control. Really, really weird situation to me that he can go out there and play and then sit out a half with an illness and then come back and dominate again. Just really weird. But I don't know what it is about this guy. There's just so many weird things that happen. But that line is, people can't do that in 33 minutes a game. Just crazy. Tyreek Evans almost triple-doubled, 21, 8, and 10. Had a triple one as well. He's been a fantasy star so far. And Drew Holiday only played 25 minutes, but he's putting up fantastic numbers. 21, 3, and 5, 2 threes, 2 steals, and a block. It goes without saying that he's a must-own guy. And Eric Gordon, after a really rocky patch when Tyreek Evans was reintroduced to the lineup, he's starting to play a bit better now. 20 points in 32 minutes, 4 triples, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. He's not going to be a top 50 star or anything like that, but he should find himself settling around that 90 to 110 range, meaning that he should be owned in pretty much all areas. Ryan Anderson had 16 points in 32 minutes, including a couple of threes, and the Omar Asik Alonzo G starting duo provided 9 points in 33 combined minutes. They're not very good. Norris Cole played 20 minutes again, had 10 points and nothing else. I just, you know my thoughts on Norris Cole, I just don't see why he plays at all. I got into a bit of a discussion with someone on Twitter today talking about how Norris Cole is a good defender and puts a lot of pressure on guys and that's why he's getting minutes. I just don't see him as even being a good defender. Yes, he does get in their face and put pressure on, but it doesn't tend to lead to too many overall, you know, good results for the team. In my opinion, I don't know. I don't have a huge amount of trust in Elvin Gentry at the moment with what he's doing with this team. This was a good win for them, a massively high-scoring win, but some of the things that Gentry's done this season have been a little bit confusing. On to the Denver Nuggets. Okay. What is going on with Will Barton? 32 points, 7 threes, seriously, 7 threes, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. He took 25 shots. What world am I living in with Will Barton's taking 25 field goal attempts in a game? I am as confused about Will Barton's season as I am about anything at the moment. He's averaging 20 points a game across his last 6, 2.5 threes, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.7 steals. I don't actually know what's going on. He's shooting 40% from 3 this season. He shot 27% last year, 30 the year before that, 14 the year before that. He has never been a good shooter at all. He's never been a good 3-point shooter. He's taken his per 36 numbers this season, okay, compared to last season, so per 36, he's risen his scoring up by 5 points a game, he's more than doubled his 3-pointers, he's got an extra 1.5 rebounds, his assists are the same, his steals are a little bit less, his blocks are the same. So we're just seeing him just, okay, scoring, just scoring at a massively inflated rate, he's shooting free throws at a crazy level, a big 3-pointer jump. Just really, really impressive from Will Barton. I still don't get it. I still don't know whether this is real, but clearly he has to be owned everywhere. It's just weird to me. I can't get my head around it. I can't get my head around Will Barton being a good player. Yes, he's young, so there's obviously room for him to grow, but I just did not see this coming at all. And congratulations to him because he's doing a fantastic job for this team. Kenneth Reed had 21 and 13, nothing else. Jameer Nelson started again in place of Emmanuel Mudiay. It looks like he's going to have at least another start in him. 37 minutes for Nelson, 15, 2, and 6 with 3 triples. He's a great short-term add. Danilo Gallinari suffered an ankle injury. That limited him to 23 minutes. He had 18 points in that time by going to the line 12 times and hitting 11 of them. Didn't do too much else, but if he happens to miss any time, we're going to see even more Will Barton, I would say, and hopefully some more. Hopefully some more Gary Harris, who struggled a little bit here. He took 8 shots, only hit one of them, had his 3 steals and a block and 2 points, and he's a borderline 12-team league guy for me. The Denver center confusing rotation continued. Joffrey Lavernier played 13 minutes, 5 points, 2 rebounds and a block, while Nikola Jokic played 23 in the bench role, 13 and 3 with a block. Basically, it's alternating. So the next game, we're expecting Lavernier to go and have a double-double and Jokic to be limited, and it feels like it's just going to go that way back and forth. Now, I'm speaking facetiously. It's not a legit, like, one guy good game, one guy bad game, but that's the way it's feeling at the moment. And if someone says to me, who do I look in the next game, Jokic and Lavernier, I'm just going to go, I'll go with Lavernier for the next game because Jokic was good in the last game. That's basically the way it's going down at the moment. I've got no way of predicting what Mike Malone is going to do. He just runs with what he feels like on the day, and then Yusuf Nurkic is going to return soon, and it's going to be even more confusing with these center players in Denver. Darrell Arthur only played 6 minutes here due to his knee injury, so it's going to open up some more time for Jokic and Lavernier, hopefully. We're also probably going to see more Kostas Papanikolaou at the two. He played 20 minutes and did not score. He's another guy who can play big minutes and just barely provide anything. We had another big Randy Foy game, 5 triples in his 17 points in 21 minutes. He's very streaky. He's had a couple of big games recently, but not enough for me to think that we need to really be considering him significantly in 12-team leagues. All right, guys, we are going to have a short break, and then we'll be back to look at Monday's action for Daily Fantasy.
This is the part with just the guitar, while we wait on the bass and drums. I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they coming now. Me and the sky are on the road. As we hit the halftime break, the chorus lets you know you can't see what I see.
Guys, we are back, and we're going to be talking daily fantasy now. We've got Monday's games to look at. There are 9 of those. Let's get stuck into it. The first game is the Sacramento Kings and the Washington Wizards. The Wizards are favored by 3 here. The total is 215, so we're expecting a very high scoring game. Nene and Drew Gooden are both questionable. I would be shocked if they played. And Otto Porter is the one we really need to pay attention to. He's questionable with that thigh bruise. If he misses time, or if he misses this game, we're going to see more Jared Dudley, and we're going to see Kelly Oubre getting another start. Now, Oubre's priced at 3,600. He popped up 16 points in the last game, replacing Porter as a starter. If he gives you 16 points, if he gives you a little bit more of that, or a little bit more than that, I'd be okay. So he's more of a tournament play. But he comes into play if Porter misses. Jared Dudley, on the other hand, popped 40 points up in the last game. He played 40 minutes, and that was with Chris Humphries in the lineup. $4,000 for Jared Dudley makes him a very, very tempting play. There's risk involved. Sometimes he just falls flat on his face, but he's been pretty consistent of late, averaging 22.6, which is enough at $4,000. It's not a difficult matchup against the Kings. We're talking a high total here, a relatively close spread as well. I'm all for Jared Dudley in this one. Ramon Sessions at 3,900 is worth a punt, I think. He's the guy that is not necessarily going to start in place of Brad Beal, but he should be a lock for 25 minutes. He's averaging 19 points across his last 5. I'm not expecting him to put up 25 points or 28 points, but he could give you 20 points at 3,900. He'd give you 21 points at 3,900, and that's not a bad result. I think that he's got a pretty solid floor, and he could drop 8 assists, and then his number goes to 25. That's a long shot, but he can do that. So he's someone to have a look at without being too overly excited about him. Omri Caspi at 5,000, at 27.23 average across the last 3 games. He put up 32 in the last game. Really, really like him. I think this is a nice spot for him. And Rudy Gay at 7,200 is also in a pretty good spot. 37 points is his average across the last 3 games. DeMarcus Cousins is under 10,000. He's at 9,900. He's averaging 44 points. You could see him getting 50 here, and you wouldn't be shocked at all. It's not an easy matchup against the Wizards, but Cousins is able to get you 45 plus, I'd say. And I don't mind the other way for Marcin Gortat at 6,600. He's averaging 30 points across his last 5 games. He's got a low score in that time of 21.8, so that's not terrible. So could he give you 35 points? He's not a bad mid-range center. I would still rather spend up and get Cousins over him, but not bad at that price. We're 3,300 less. Yeah, you could do worse. Even if Otto Porter plays, I'm not really sure I want to get too excited about using him. And John Wall at 9,900, not a difficult matchup for him. He almost dropped 50 in the last game. He had been, you know, really hot, averaging 43 points across his last 5. Don't mind using it. I don't mind using him here at all. It's not like Rajon Rondo has been the greatest defender this season, so he's someone you can pay attention to. 8,600 for Rajon Rondo, averaging 41.7 points. Just not sure that, like, he can give you that number, and he'll probably give you between 40 to 45, but does he give you enough to go over it? I don't know. I don't know if he's a great tournament play. He's not a bad cash game play, though, at 8,600. It still feels a little bit expensive for me, but his lowest score in his last five games is 37.8, so that's a very, very high floor. That's higher than John Wall's floor. It's very good. So he's definitely someone that we can use. The next game is the Orlando Magic and the New York Knicks. The Knicks are favored by 2. The total is 196. So we have to assume that CJ Watson's not going to play, first of all. But we have to think that if it's a spread of 2, that, you know, this game is close, hopefully. And that means we should get decent minutes out of most of the Magic guys. There's still risk there, but you would think that this is not going to be a blowout either way. 7,500 for Nick Vucevic. He's averaging 38.5. I like using him. I think he's in a pretty decent spot here. Aaron Gordon's a tournament play at 3,600. I don't really love it, though. Same with Langston Galloway at 3,900. He's got tournament written all over him, but again, the minutes are fluctuating, so does his production. Kristaps
Porzingis
averaging 27 points across the last 3 at 6,300. It's not quite enough. I reckon I'll steer clear of him here, although the matchup is favorable for him. I reckon we can go in a different direction. And Carmelo Anthony's at 8,600, so sub 9,000 is appealing for Melo. Averaging 40 points, 43 across his last 5. A minimum score of 29, which is pretty high. I'm all for using him here. I think he's in a pretty nice spot as well. And Aaron Aflalo at 5,200 has been putting up very, very nice numbers on the back of red-hot shooting, which I'm not sure can continue. But while he's hot, the Magic aren't a great shutdown defending team at this point. They're sort of middle of the pack. 5,200 for Aflalo, not a bad salary to get out there. 6,800 for our Lord Alfred Payton. He's been good, he's been consistent, but not necessarily consistently high enough for 6,800. I think that there's some intrigue in using him, but not for tournaments, maybe in a cash game situation, but still don't think that that salary quite matches up his production. Evan Fournier, I'll leave alone. There's too much risk there. Same with Victor Oladipo at 6,700. And Toby Harris at 6,400. He is just way up and down and not exciting enough for my tastes. Lance Thomas is someone who is interesting. 3,900 for Lance, averaging 20 points over his last 3, 20 points over his last 5. And at 3,900, if he gives you 20 points, that's 5x value. You can't ask for much more than that, especially if you need the sub 4,000 guy to fit into your roster. Lance Thomas has been, as dumb as this sounds, he's been money. He's been consistently giving you 20 minutes and 20 fantasy points. The next game is the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Boston Celtics. The Celtics are favored by 9. The total is 205.5. Now, Amir Johnson is battling plantar fasciitis, which is never a good thing, especially for a big man. So if he is out, we might see more Kelly Olynyk. We might see an extended run for Jared Sullinger. Most likely we're going to see Tyler Zeller and David Lee get out there, but let's hope that the actual good players start getting bigger minutes. Now, Olynyk at 3,900 is only a tournament play if Johnson is out, but it's something to pay attention to. Isaiah Thomas at 8,200 I like. He almost put up 40 in the last game. He's been putting up some pretty solid numbers lately. This is a prime spot for him to put up another 40. Avery Bradley's been stinking lately. 5,300 for him means that he's only in play for a tournament. Put up 6.7 in the last game. That's not good. And Sullinger at 23 points, 5,900 salary. Just not doing enough. But if Johnson's out, maybe a couple of extra shots, maybe a couple of extra minutes. Jay Crowder at 5,600 is someone who has intrigue. He's averaging 27 across the last 5, and that's okay at 5,600. So you can think about using him. And Karl Anthony Towns at 7,000. What minutes does he get? If he gets 31, he's a lock to blow that out of the water. 41.5 today, a 20-10 game for Towns. The risk is Sam Mitchell, but the production from the player is good, and I think this is a nice spot for Karl Anthony Towns. It's also a lovely spot for Gorgui Dieng, who's priced at only 4,900. He's averaging 33 points across his last 3 games, dropped 40 today. That's a cheap salary. Less than 5,000 when you can get 40 points is fantastic. So Gorgui Dieng is definitely in the mix to be used here. Andrew Wiggins at 6,900. That price is not too bad. He's averaging 34 across his last 3. Still not sure I'm all that interested in using him, but at 6,900, there's definitely more appeal. Ricky Rubio at 7,200, he's averaging 42 across his last three. Some pretty big games in there, but Boston against point guards, no thanks. I'd rather go in a different direction. The next game is the Charlotte Hornets and the Houston Rockets. The Rockets are favored by 3. The total is 209 points. Not much to really check on injury-wise here. Cody Zeller at 4,100 is very interesting to me. You hear me talk about him a lot. He just needs to stay out of foul trouble. He's averaging 20 points a game at 4,100. He put up 22.4 in the last game. I think he's pretty much a lock for that 20-point mark. And at 4,100, that's 5x value. He's been relatively consistent around that 20 to 20 run range. And it's not exciting, but at 4,000, it lets you put big guys in. You put Harden in, put Cousins in. If you've got Zeller in there, just giving you 5x value. Jeremy Lin's been smashing 5x value. He's now at 5,200, but he's been on fire as a starter, as a bench guy. I love using him here. This is it's a pretty simple matchup in terms of ease ranking. Ease rankings going up against the Rockets. He's also got a revenge game factor in his mind too. So Jeremy Lin's someone who I think is worth a decent look here. I like Patrick Beverley at 4,200. He's in a similar situation to Cody Zeller. Just a 22.5x value sort of player. Has been a little bit down in the last couple, but it definitely was good before that. Okay with using him. 7,100 for Nick Batum. Rockets bump definitely helps him here. So you can consider him. He was great coming back from illness. 37 points in that one. So I like using him. And Marvin Williams also fits into that 5x category. Averaging 25 across the last three at $5,000 and the Rockets bump included. I think you've got to be happy with him. Clint Capela at 5,100. Yes, he might only play 21 minutes a game, which he has done in his last three, but he's averaged 26 fantasy points. He can rack up the stats pretty quickly. At 5,100 there, he's not bad to use. And then he can go big. He can go and put up 35 points and really, really help you. James Harden, 10,500. Averaging less than 42 across the last three games, averaging less than 42 across his last five, but his minimum value in those last five is 38, so he's got a pretty decent floor on him. If you're using some of these other players like Lin and Zala and Beverly and Lance Thomas maybe early, you can then go big on some of these guys like Harden and get him in there and hope that it clicks and he has a 50 or 55 point night, because we know that he's capable of doing that. 5,800 for Trevor Ariza. Definitely okay with using him. He's averaging almost 30 across the last three, and at 5,800, that's plenty of value there. Kemba Walker at 7,900. Rockets bump is in play for him too, but 7,900 feels a little bit expensive. You'd want him to go 37 or 38 points. That might be a little bit out of his reach. 7,700 for Dwight. No thanks. I reckon you can get better value in other spots. Terrence Jones, Donatas Motiejunas, they don't have the fantasy upside that Clint Capela does. He puts up numbers in limited playing time as in comparison to what those guys are able to do. The Portland Trailblazers and the Atlanta Hawks, there is no spread for this one yet because there's the issue with Damian Lillard and with CJ McCollum for the Trailblazers. Now, those guys both miss, which doesn't appear likely. There's going to be a lot of interesting things happen there. Alan Crabb becomes a guy to look at 3,800. He's definitely going to have to play more minutes if something like that goes down. Gerald Henderson will get more run for Portland as well. You're going to see Tim Frazier become a guy if there is no if both of those guys are out as the point guard, because if Lillard's out, McCollum will move over to the point guard spot and give Henderson and Harkless more minutes. But if both of them are out, Tim Frazier's going to have to handle the ball. So he would be an all-time punt play at 3,500. That's a little bit speculative at the moment because they're both expected to play. Al Horford at 7,000. Look, his projections look tasty, and it is against Portland. And we saw what happened today against Portland with the Heat guys. So you expect a bump there. His production of late hasn't been sort of great, but I'm okay with using him here. Al-Farouq Aminu at 5,100 has been playing a lot better of late as well. Yeah, don't mind it. Not the greatest spot. Kent Bazemore at 5,500. You almost have to use him at averaging 25 points. 26 in the last game in 33 minutes. The minutes are there. We could see decent production from him. Mason Plumlee at 5,200. That's too expensive. The foul trouble and limited production he's put up lately is not enough for me to get into that. Alan Crabb I touched on already. 3,800 is a great price if we're going to have some of those guys miss. And 8,300 for Paul Millsap. He gets Portland front court bump too. But at $8,300, it's probably a little bit expensive for me to get too excited over using him. Jeff Teague's minutes just aren't there, $6,200 for him. We don't want to use him. And even if Lillard plays at $8,900, not sure I want to get too invested there, whereas $7,500 for CJ McCollum, I can definitely get behind that. Not much else I think we really need to touch on in this game. The Brooklyn Nets and the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls are favored by 10.5. The total is 197. Doug McDermott, he's officially questionable, but I've moved him to doubtful. I don't think he plays. The word's coming from Fred Hoiberg. He's concerned about the knee injury. I don't think we're going to see McDermott in this one, and he could miss some games. So it's going to be interesting the way that Hoiberg handles this. He's going to have Tony Snell play a little bit of extra, but I think that Nikola Mirotic is going to have to play the three. He's going to have to, and that does two things. It increases the minutes that Mirotic hopefully plays. It also increases the ability for Bobby Portis to get some minutes. Now, in no way am I suggesting that Bobby Portis should be used in DFS for this game because Gasol, Noah, Gibson are all going to be there. But I think we see a little bit of Bobby Portis here. Now, I gave my thoughts on Bobby Portis for standard leagues yesterday, but I didn't give my thoughts on Nikola Mirotic for standard leagues. He has been really bad lately. His per 36 numbers aren't too far off what we anticipate him doing, though, and that's where I get a little bit of hope. But in a 10-team league, I reckon you need to move on from Mirotic. In a 12-team league, I'm okay with moving on from him too, but his upside is so fantastic that anything deeper than that, you have to hold on to him. And even in some 12-team leagues, I would be holding for a little bit of time, unless there's someone just staring you in the face going, please pick me up, please pick me up. It really depends who is out there. Now, I'm not dropping Mirotic to go and stash Markieff Morris. I'm not dropping him for Terrence Jones or someone like that. No chance. But the minutes and the playing time have not been good. Let's see if he gets his extra run at the three if McDermott happens to miss and see exactly what goes down in this game. At 4,800, he is strictly a tournament punt play. He has been putrid, averaging 9 points across the last three games. He's been underused and he's been utilized incorrectly as well. And that's part of the problem. But some of the problem is clearly Mirotic too. He's just not getting back on defense enough. It just doesn't look quite right, and I can't put my finger exactly on what it is. $8,500 for Jimmy Butler. He's one of the better high-priced guys on the board against the Nets who do allow shooting guards to put up big numbers, so I don't mind, or definitely I like using him here. And $6,400 for Derrick Rose is not a horrible spot here, especially, again, the Nets give a backcourt bump too. Joakim Noah at $5,300 has been putting up really good numbers, averaging 30 in his last five. He is in play here, especially if we see Mirotic moving more to the three. And Brook Lopez at $7,700. The Bulls against centers is one of the best matchups in the NBA. He put up 44 in Sunday's action, Lopez did. So he's someone that we can look at. He could go out for another 40-point spot. Pau Gasol at $8,900 had a game off to rest. He's averaging 40 points across his last five. At $8,900, though, it feels a little bit expensive. I'm not sure that I want to get too invested in him. Jarrett Jack had a stinker today. I imagine that Jarrett Jack bounces back here at $6,900. I reckon he's going to be under-owned, but I think he's going to have some value. And Tony Snell might see minutes in close to 30. He probably won't see points over 12, though. I don't think we need to get too excited at Tony Snell, even if Doug McDermott is missing, because he just isn't very good. Bobby Portis is the other one. You can maybe throw him into a tournament, but I really fail to see him getting the 35 points that he got in the last game. He might get 20, and that could be enough, but I would be a little bit surprised if we saw that from him. The Indiana Pacers and the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs are favored by 9. The total is 196 here. That is not... Whenever you see the Spurs play, you know that it's generally not going to be a great fantasy line. Danny Green at $3,500. He's starting to come back into calculations because averaging 17.2 over the last three games, it's not great, but at minimum salary, it's basically 5x value. Can he give you 20 points? I reckon he can, but I'm not confident enough to use it outside of a tournament. Kawhi Leonard at $8,800, I reckon he's going to be pretty motivated against... You hear these talks about Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and the talks of Kawhi Leonard could have been a Pacer and you could have been playing with Paul George, all this sort of stuff. I reckon there's a little bit here extra for Kawhi. At $8,800, I think that he's in a spot for a 40-point game, which is not... It's not 5x value, but it's pretty close. I think that he's a real interesting guy if you want to leverage some of these big spending or big money guys onto your roster. LaMarcus Aldridge, a little bit quietly, has put together two big games in a row. He's averaging 33 across his last five. Sorry, across his last three. At 7,300, he's in play here. I think that he could be someone that you could use. Now, don't say that with a huge amount of confidence, but there's something to be said for using LaMarcus Aldridge when he's in a bit of a hot streak at the moment. Monte Ellis at 5,800. No thanks, that's too expensive. Jordan Hill at 4,900. A real strong stretch of games for Hill lately, averaging 26.6 across his last five games. At 4,900, you'll take that, so I'm okay with him. George Hill, no thanks. Tony Parker at 5,500, definitely okay with using him. He's been rock solid, averaging almost 30 across his last three at 5,500. There's a spot for him. And Paul George at 9,400, that's just too expensive for me. And going against Kawhi, I reckon Kawhi shuts him down. George has been turning the ball over a ton. He's been shooting the ball not that well. Don't think this changes too much for Paul George. Don't love CJ Miles as well with Kawhi switching onto him at some point, I would imagine. The Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns. The Jazz are favored by 4.5. The total is 200.5 points. Suns guys, there's not much that I really love here, to be honest. TJ Warren at 4,000 is interesting. He's averaged over 21 in his last five, so there's a little bit of value there for him, but not overly thrilled with it. Alec Burks has been struggling. We can leave him alone. Derek Favors at 7,700 has definitely tailed off. He'd been putting up big numbers to start. He put up big numbers when Gobert first went down, but that has tailed off. So Derek Favors is someone that I'm not overly keen with using. Eric Bledsoe at 8,900. That's too expensive given what he's currently doing and going against the Jazz. I don't want any part of him. Gordon Hayward at 7,100, I reckon, is in a pretty nice spot. And Rodney Hood at 44 is strictly a tournament play, but he put up 26 in the last game. This is an easier matchup against the Suns. I'm all for using him in a tournament because there could be 26, 27, 30 points from Rodney Hood potentially. Brandon Knight struggling, 7,200, maybe in a tournament because he's not going to be owned anywhere. And he could have one of those big nights, so there's something to be said there. But apart from that, no thanks. Alex Len, as good as he's been, you're going to have nights where Chandler plays more than him, and that's going to be a struggle. So at 5,300, I restrict him for tournament use only as well. Someone mentioned to me on Twitter, I think it was, or maybe YouTube, they wanted me to explain when I say tournaments and cash games, what the difference is. Now, I know most of you would know what I'm talking about, but a tournament is one of those guaranteed prize pool situations. So it's also called a GPP, and it's where they pay out, I think normally the top 18% of people get a payout, and it's obviously a sliding scale with most of the money going to first, then dropping down, and then you know, the last few spots in the prize structure getting double their money back or whatever they get back. When you talk, that's when I say tournament. So you want guys in tournaments with high upsides because you need to finish really high. You need to take some risks and hope some guys pan out. When I say cash games, I'm talking head-to-heads and double-ups where basically, 50% of the field gets paid. So there's 200 people in the tournament. The top 100 get paid. You either get double your money back with double ups, or if it's a 50-50, you know what I'm trying to say. It's basically when the top half of a field, roughly, gets paid, and they all get paid the same. So you don't need to beat 80% of the people. You don't need to beat 95% of the people to get a payout. You need to beat 50% of the people to get a payout. And it doesn't matter if you finish first, it doesn't matter if you finish 50th, if they're paying 50, if you finish first to 50, it doesn't matter. So you just need to beat 50% of the people. So you want a high floor. You want guys who are steady, you want guys who are consistent, and you don't need them to go with big upsides and go, oh, this guy had a 50-point game, but his other games have been 5. You don't necessarily want that. You want guys who have gone 30, 30, 30, 30, 30. Okay, this guy's going to give me 30 points, and I know he's going to give me 30 points. You want more consistency. High floor for cash games, which is your double-ups, head-to-heads. High ceiling for tournaments. I hope that's pretty straightforward for the person who asked me that. And anyone else who didn't know. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Los Angeles Clippers. The Thunder are favored by 1.5. The total is 208. Austin Rivers is doubtful. So what that means to me, and we saw it in the last game, is that Jamal Crawford's going to get big run. He played 30 minutes in the last game. He was terrible. He only put up 7.7 points. But we've seen this year when he gets 30 minutes, there's an opportunity for him to go big. He is priced at 3,600. So if he gives you 20 fantasy points, you're done. That's value. It's fantastic. He could give you 30 fantasy points and he could give you, you know, a 10x return on investment. In a tournament, it's great. And even in a cash game, I think that his ability to get 20 points should be pretty straightforward. I like him in this one. 10,200 for Westbrook. He's obviously going to be better than what he was against the Lakers, so I'm okay with using him. And Chris Paul at 8,700 has been playing really well lately, averaging almost 43 across the last three. This is an opportunity against Westbrook to put up some nice numbers too, so I'm okay using him. He's averaging more than what Blake Griffin is for $500 less. And he's in a more favorable matchup here. So I think Chris Paul is the play between him and Griffin, but I would still like Griffin at 9,200, given the other power forwards on the board in his price range. DeAndre Jordan at 32, averaging 32 in his last three. His price at 7,700, not a bad guy to look at. Kevin Durant at 9,800, under 10,000. You don't see that for KD very often. It's because he hasn't been putting up big fantasy numbers. 35.4 points in the last three games, which is great for most people, but not for KD and not at his price. But his lowest score in that time has been 32.6. So in a cash game, I reckon I'm okay with using KD because he could easily be a 45, 50-point guy here. The numbers haven't been kind to him, but at that salary, it is very hard to pass up on using Kevin Durant. Not many other guys that I'm really all that interested in this one. Enes Kanter at 5,100 has been putting up decent numbers in limited minutes, but the limited minutes mean it's harder to use him, maybe more restricted to a tournament, especially after he put 40 up against the Lakers, but the Clippers, for as bad as they've been at times, they're not the Lakers. Not much else to really look at, I don't think, here in this matchup. All right, let's bring up the daily fantasy plays of the day. No, and you know what? Because the video shut down, it put up my old daily fantasy plays. So I'm going to re-upload them. Just, again, bear with me. Silly internet issues causing problems. There we go. Here's today's ones. Ramon Sessions, 3,900. Jeremy Lin, 5,200. And Isaiah Thomas, 8,200. At shooting guard, Jamal Crawford, 3,600. Kent Bazemore, 5,500. And Jimmy Butler, 8,500. Small forwards, Jared Dudley, 4,000, Omri Caspi, 5,000, and Kawhi Leonard, 8,800. Power forwards, Cody Zeller, 41, Clint Capella, 51, and Blake Griffin, 9,200. And the centers, Gorgui Dieng, 4,900, Marcin Gortat, 6,600, and DeMarcus Cousins rounds it out at 9,900. Don't forget, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Check out Basketball Monster. com and their corresponding Twitter account at Basque Monster, where we tweet out everything that's happening, up-to-date news, lineup adjustments, injuries, all that sort of stuff on the Basketball Monster account. And also Hardwood Paroxysm. This podcast is part of the Hardwood Paroxysm Network. Make sure you're listening to the other podcasts on the network, including the excellent Quo Vadimus with Jared Dubin and Seth Partnow, as well as all the other brilliant podcasts on that network. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. I think we're done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.